Retro scena. Posebna rubrika oddaje Odrišča. Iz sveta umetnosti z ljudmi, ki jo ustvarjajo.
Enajsti festival radikalnih teles Spider je sklenil najti pot iz utesnjujočih kletk harmonijskih lestvic. Kot eno izmed možnih rešitev so ponudili koncept fantastične matematike. Gre za študij vzorcev in nizov sestavljenih iz ločenih delov. Torej, namesto da bi harmonični izračun gledali v celoti, ga raje razdrobimo in gledamo parcialno. S tem pa se doseže zbadanje konvencionalnih paradigem v nevralgične točke. Na festivalu je gostoval tudi plesalec in koreograf Noé Soulier. V svojem delu Passages v prvi vrsti raziskuje drugačne koreografske pristope, predvsem ga zanima, kako prostor vpliva na plesalca, koreografa in publiko. Skupaj s plesalci Julie Charbonnier, Adriano Coleta, Yumiko Funaya, Nangalin Gomis in Nan Pierson je publiko, namesto da bi jo posedel pod odr, peljal na sprehod po ljubljanskem Tivoliju. Plesalci so se prek principa decentralizirane koreografske geste, prek sicer vnaprej pripravljenih formalnih stopic, spontano odzivali na prostor. Z njim smo posneli krajši pogovor, ki ga objavljamo v celoti.
Retro scena.
In your piece Passages you format a time and space specific language, so a responsive language in a movement. Can you explain how the piece is constructed and how it adapts to different places where it is performed?
So the movement phrases are already written before we arrive. They are always the same and the dancers know them already. But then we arrive in a place, so now here in Tivoli Park, and we look at the space and we try to think how to use that space. So for example, here there are these paths which are in stone, and there are also all these parts with the grass, and it's very different to dance on the path with the stone and on the grass. And for example, one of the paths was very long, so we could make a really long line of dancers, which was maybe 80 meters long. It's something you could never do on a stage. There is no 80 meter stage. And then you have all the dancers doing just one phrase in unison. So if you're on one side, the last one will be very, very small. Or there were trees, so you can play with the trees, go around the trees. So, and sometimes we perform, like now it was in a park, but sometimes we perform in architecture. So then it will be the space, the spatial aspect of the architecture, the walls, the partition, the columns, whatever they are. And I think like that we can explore physically the space where we are. We can, sometimes then you realize aspects of the space you didn't notice before by moving in it. So I guess when you look at a map or when you arrive in a space, you look at it mostly visually, but it's only when you live in it sometimes for a very long time that you start to notice things more physically. And here we're trying to do that in a very short time where you can really experience the space physically very fast.
So when you arrive here, do you map geographically your piece in advance, or it is improvised?
It depends. Sometimes we do. Here we didn't because the park was too complex, so I could get a map of the park, but on the map I cannot see, you know, if there is shade or not, if it's humid or not, how steep is it. So maybe with videos it's possible, or photos. But so here we just arrived and then went through the park and tried to look and check things. And we were with one of the with Matej, organizer of the festival, and he could tell us, okay, here there are often people in the evening with dogs, or here, like, so we also take that. There is also a kind of social aspect of, you know, if people pass with cars or not, or bikes. So it's really, I think what's fun about this project is we always create something on the spot, and you can also see that with the dancers, because they are it's new for them. It's always a premiere, so you have a certain kind of intensity, a certain kind of urgency that is different when you perform a show on stage where it's really planned, everything goes according to plan. Here it never goes according to plan, but it's part of the show, so that's nice. So,
okay, yeah. And do the dancers respond to different sounds that are occurring? I mean, mowing the lawn and listening to music.
Not really. There is no cue from, because, for example, the mowing of the lawn was just tonight. Yesterday we rehearsed, there was no mowing of the lawn. What I like is that the piece can integrate, can even welcome within it everything that happens around it. So if there are kids, if there are dogs, if there are anything, it becomes part of the set, part of the piece in some way. So what we do, what they do is very precise. The phrases are very precise, very, very clear. But because it is very flexible, and the boundaries between what is in the piece and what is not in the piece are getting blurred. And in a way, it's your choice as an audience member how much you want to pay attention to what's around and make it in the piece.
The idea of not needing neither stage technique nor musical equipment is actually very brave in a way. In the era of tireless and omnipresent digitalization and inflation of imagery, this type of sublime art piece feels really radical, right? And how would you describe the concept of radicality?
Well, I think I think liveness today is indeed quite radical, because liveness is by liveness I mean something that is not pre-recorded or that is not streamed and made accessible to many, many people at the same time. So here you really see something that will be only performed once, and that can, or several times, but a couple of times, but it can only be seen by the people that were there at that time. And I think for me, it has a lot to do with creating a common space where the performers and the audience are sharing one moment together. And this doesn't make a lot of economical sense. I think, performing art doesn't... So if you make an exhibition, for example, you will have costs to make the exhibition, but then if you make it 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you can scale up in a way. So your initial investment is getting more and more profitable if people are coming. But with performing art, it doesn't work that way. If you do 2 shows, 3 shows, 4 shows, it costs more and more and more. So it's not something that you can scale the same way that you can scale, a movie or a recorded song or a clip or something like that. But so there is a cost. There is a cost also, not only a financial cost, but a cost of coming, being there, a physical cost, a kind of exhaustion that the dancers go through. But the what you gain from that cost is this time together, this time that is spent together. And that it's because if you stream something, then every person that is going to perceive it will perceive it when they want, at the time that they want. So it's very, very flexible for them. But they are also alone. You do it individually. You do it, which is okay. It's not a kind of, it's not an ethical judgment. But I think that this time that we spend together, where we kind of agree together, say, okay, we are gonna make this moment special together, this is very precious. It's very precious because this is a political space. This is a space where we share something together. And I think it's important to manage to create these spaces. Yeah.
This was a really nice answer. Just one more question. This year's Spider Festival understands its main topic as awesome mathematics and state of being against harmony scales. What is the equation behind your work?
Well, I think if I would have to make a link with math, I think the thing is some parts, for example, the last part, there are 5 dancers in the space and the phrases are written, but the structure that they develop is not pre-written. So they are all reacting to one another. And this is more complex than any choreography I can conceive, or I think that anyone can conceive, because it's a little bit like when you see people at crossroads, and there are bikes, there are people walking, maybe there are cars, and let's say the traffic lights are not working. Everyone is going to improvise their way through, adapt to one another, pass in front, behind, wait, anticipate, something like that, and at the end it works. Or even a conversation, when you have a conversation, you didn't plan at the beginning where the conversation would end. You kind of bounce on each other's ideas and propositions. And this is a bit what's happening in the dance. So the phrases are written, but where they decide to do it, which direction, which timing, how they react to one another is open. And this is a kind of decentralized choreography. So it's not a planned choreography, that something that was set from the top and then kind of enacted by the people. It's really something that arises or kind of crystallizes from all the choices that are made. It's a little bit like birds or fishes, you know, which reacts to one another, but it's more complex because it's more social, it's more like a conversation, in the sense that because the phrases are written, they have a way of reacting which is different from birds, where it's really like just spatial orientation. And so I think this kind of decentralized choreography, if you would try to kind of understand how it works, I think it's mathematically quite complex, in the sense that, let's say, sorry, it's a long answer, but basically, if you use only one phrase and you have five people doing the same phrase, you will have lots of repetition, you will have lots of canon, you will have lots of the same motif coming back a lot. If you put more phrases, if you say, okay, you can use 10 phrases, then you will have much less density of the same material. So you get a different kind of polyphony. So you can play with different parameters, the number of dancers, the number of different phrases, the heterogeneity between the phrases, many, many parameters like that, and you can adjust them to create a certain state. But that state, I think sometimes this state works and sometimes it doesn't work. And I think, in a way, you could try to make a model, you could try to modelize this, but it would be extremely complex. It would be really extremely complex to understand why a certain level of complexity is fertile, is generating something interesting, and why, if you, for example, if you put too much complexity, sometimes it collapses, it becomes less, it's almost impossible to follow, so it's less interesting to watch. Or if there is not enough, then it's a little bit dull. So there is a kind of play with simplicity and complexity in terms of experience, of aesthetics, of which I think probably could be modelized. I have no idea how, I'm not doing math, but I think it would be an interesting thing to try to modelize.
Odrišča, 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 odrišča. Pika si.